it's Mary, and we're back with another episode of Dogcast. Today, we're peeling back another layer as we explore the prospect of introducing a support dog to my school. Get ready for a fresh perspective as we discover the heartwarming role of story dogs in schools, an approach that brings their charm into education. In previous episodes, we've covered training methods, navigated the challenges of school life, and unravelled the secrets to keeping four-legged pals happy and healthy through the power of proper rest, nutrition, and a balanced lifestyle. If you've been tuning in, you're well aware that introducing a dog into a school environment is a decision loaded with both possibilities and potential pitfalls. But what if there was a way to enjoy the companionship and benefits of a dog without the full-time commitment? That's exactly what Cornell Public School in Sydney is doing. They've partnered with Story Dogs, a non-profit organisation with a twist on integrating dogs into the learning experience. Specifically, helping students during reading time. In today's episode, you'll be hearing from Cornell's principal, Jo Graham, and two students from her school. Then there's Tina Ecostanzo and Guy Hull from Story Dogs. You might recall Guy from a previous chat. Together, we're exploring how story dogs could find their place within my school. So let's jump into my conversation with Jo and see what this alternative approach can bring to the table. Jo, thanks for coming in to speak to me today. I'm, as you know, thinking about getting a dog for my school, and I guess I'm just exploring what might be an advantage in having story dog in my school rather than a school dog.
I guess for us being a smaller school, and I'm not sure exactly how big your school is, but the story dog worked for us because it wasn't something that had to be at school all the time. It was a program where the dog would come in and there would be somebody who handles it and looks after it and comes in for a specific period of time rather than the onus on the school to pay for the dog and have staff members who will take the dog home and look after it, and just the logistics. So being a smaller school, we thought story dogs was more appropriate for our school.
Yeah, it's certainly a big responsibility. I think I've learnt that over the time that I've been investigating.
And perhaps this is the first step. We might move on to school dogs after this.
Yeah, that's actually really good advice, I think. So how does story dogs work in your school? Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sure. So my learning support team teacher came to see me about doing a program with students that would motivate them to read, and those reluctant readers or the ones that had a little anxiety over reading or the ones that weren't listened to at home a lot, having a program in place that could motivate them and turn them on to reading and get them reading, excited about reading. And she showed me the Story Dogs program. We talked about how that would operate here at our school. I then discussed that with staff and we took it to the PNC as an idea of let's get this story dog in, this program started. So the story dog comes in each Thursday. Sandy does. She's gorgeous. She comes in each Thursday for roughly an hour, and during that time she'll see three children will read to her for 20 minutes at each session. And the lovely lady Tina, who brings Sandy in, is there to help facilitate the program as well.
That's it. Give her a little pat. Are you ready for your story? Got your listening ears on? Good dog. Are you ready?
As she set off for Keo's
village.
I wonder which fruit she'll like first.
Oh, I think she likes both of them. Dylan gets to choose because he's going to do the reading. Got your listening ears on? Good girl. What's it called?
Possum Magic.
Yeah, by Mem Fox.
Once upon a time, but not very long ago, deep in the Australian bushes lived two possums.
So what have been some of the benefits that you've seen from Story Dog program running in your school?
Well, I guess you could see from your little snippets from Abigail and Dylan how excited they are to be part of the program. But we've noticed how much more motivated they are to read And that's one of the purposes of the Story Dog program, is to invoke that love of reading with students, and you can see that with them. And often it's students who might not have a regular person that they can regularly read to at home. So we've seen them grow in confidence. We've seen them develop that love of reading and start to be excited about reading. And I think that that confidence then transfers to what they do in the classroom as well. So no longer is when you say, okay, reading, oh, I feel sick in the stomach, or I don't want to do that, or whatever. They'll tackle a reading activity.
There seemed to be a real sense of them sort of now viewing reading as a really positive thing and as them being chosen for something special.
Absolutely. And I think too, we've had students who have been anxious about reading, about making mistakes, and they tend to be that quiet, more reserved student, not like Dylan and Abigail. And for them, it's having to read to a dog who isn't going to give them feedback or judge them on how they're reading or correct them. It's just someone who listens. And we've had children who have gone through difficult periods at home, difficult times at home. And for them, it's a chance to, for their well-being as well, a chance for them to relax and actually do something that makes them feel good, reading to a dog.
After making the choice to bring Story Dogs into your school, how did you go about introducing Sandy to students, staff and parents?
So what we did was we talked to a local business, the Colonel Recreation Club, which is just down the road, and we talked to them about being a sponsor for the Story Dog. So they became involved. So the PNC were right on board, that little parent community were right on board. But what we did was we put it out in the newsletter, but then we had a whole school assembly, which parents and community are invited to, and we actually introduced Tina, Sandy, the president from the Colonel Recreation Club, Peter came as well, and we had our staff and students all in the assembly hall, and we all met Sandy and talked about the fact that this was a program that was about to start and what the program was about. And it was about developing that love of reading, improving reading, and that it would not be for every student K-6, but hopefully they'd get a turn at some stage.
Now let's hear from Tina, who is Sandy's dedicated handler. Here she shares a little bit about her history with Story Dogs and talks about the incredible impact the program has on young learners. Hi Tina.
Hi.
Thanks for coming in and talking to me today.
You're welcome.
Can you start by telling me a little bit about Story Dogs and your participation and Sandy's participation in the program?
Yeah, I started Story Dogs about 5 or 6 years ago. I think I had just the type of dog that loved people, and I also I've been a school teacher for 30 years. So I thought I love children and I like training dogs. I thought, oh, this is just perfect for me. So then I contacted people and then I started going to the schools, and that's how I got involved. Well, I just love helping the children to read. I mean, you know, a child that gets left behind in literacy, it's just, you know, that a whole new world opens up to them once they can read. You know, knowledge is power, and, you know, and even if you have a dog that makes them feel relaxed and then non-judgmental, they just blossom. It's just wonderful to see them get so far ahead in their reading. And it's like a 20-minute time when they can just chill out. And the dog enjoys it, I enjoy it, and they do. It's just a perfect bond. But I think the dog's role is there for them to just to make them feel really relaxed. So they're not. It's not like a one-on-one reading out loud, you know, to a class or reading to a parent or an adult. So they're sort of reading to the dog. So it doesn't matter if they make a mistake. The dog's not going to say, "Oh, I think you made an error here," and they're, you know, unconditional love, and so they just sort of relax. And sometimes before we start reading, they just have a little, you know, a little love session with the dog, a bit of a cuddle, and just relax, and then select their book. And so everything's, you know, it just all flows.
It's heartening to know that the Story Dogs program not only nurtures literacy skills, but also provides a comforting and encouraging environment for students. I also asked Tina about the logistical aspects of the program.
Well, when a school goes into the Story Dog program, there is a school package. So the principal has to be the first line of call. So the principal will look through the package and say, oh, okay, this is suitable for my school. And then we have a person come out and there's an orientation. So it might be a school assembly where the person takes the dog to the school assembly and the whole school gets to meet the handler and the dog. And then from there, the school selects the children. So when the person comes to their school, we sign on and we get to know all the office people, everyone knows who we are, and we have an allocated area where we go to and we pick up the children. We're now introduced to the children on orientation and we know what rooms they're in. So we go for a walk.
Okay. We'll get to see you next week. Can't wait. And neither can Sandy. She can smell. Okay, let's go. Hey, Sandy. Let's go. Come on.
Having visited Kurnell Public School, it's clear to me the significant impact that story dogs like Sandy have on students. While I was there, I had the chance to chat with Dylan and Abigail, two young learners who are benefiting from Sandy's comforting presence. Let's hear directly from them about their experiences.
So why do you think the students at my school might enjoy having a story dog?
Because it might remind them, like, how it reminds me, and it might just cheer them up if they're going through some bad times.
Can you tell me about what you like about working with Sandy?
That I get to read books to Sandy and she, like, lays down and sleeps and almost, like, closes her eyes like that and closes them and she like listens to it.
Oh, how do you know she's listening?
Because when I'm talking, she lays down and I know she can hear me because she's got ears.
Because she's got ears. Such a sweet perspective. Let's get into my conversation with Guy, a skilled dog behaviourist and trainer who works closely with story dogs. He offers valuable insights into the program's dynamics and the broader considerations when it comes to introducing dogs to the school environment. I feel like I oscillate on this journey between going, yes, I'm absolutely getting a dog and I'm going to be the one taking responsibility. It's going to be in my school. And then going, this is such a huge responsibility. I have so much more to learn. And one of the things I've been thinking about is maybe a first step for my school might be getting a story dog in so that I can at least see how my school community reacts to a dog without having to take it on myself quite at this stage. And also how that particular type of dog reacts to my specific school community and environment. What's so good about the story dog program, do you think, Guy?
Story dogs are a great thing for the school, but what needs to be borne in mind is it's very hard to tell how the story dog is going to work with the whole school because we bring the dog in after the bell's gone, we get our reading done, and we leave before the bell goes for play lunch or recess. So the dog's not subjected to a lot of children. Mind you, all those dogs are properly temperament assessed and obedience assessed and can cope with that fine. But dogs in schools in any capacity is a risk minimisation program. So we do whatever we can to minimise the risk, to minimise interaction with the kiddies. That's a good idea to get story dogs in for sure because it sets the mood in the school and kids just accept the fact that there's dogs in the school. You've got to remember, if you bring a dog into a school, it's going to be a big deal for the first 2 or 3 days and then they're just going to be another school member. So you always need to be alert, but you don't have to be on your guard all the time. But story dogs is a great way to build confidence in the children and to build confidence in having a dog in the school environment.
So if a teacher in my school has a dog, can that dog be the story dog?
It can, but it can't be at school all day. So the teacher could bring the dog in and if the time's available, do, you know, the story dog program and then they have to take the dog home. So story dogs are not school dogs. We're looking for the same kind of dog for both roles, but the two jobs are different. One's a longer part-time role than the other one is.
What are some of the features of that program that have worked really well that you've witnessed?
Just the dogs. It's just having a dog there. And it's taking the pressure off children with their literacy. It's giving the children a non-judgmental little friend. So we don't teach the children to read. We read with the kids and we read to the dog.
I really love that idea about having a non-judgmental little friend. The way a dog can ignite a passion for reading and boost a student's confidence in the classroom is truly remarkable. As I press on, I can't help but wonder how guidelines and policies factor into the process of implementing a school support dog program. Join me in the next episode as I learn about the rules and regulations that underpin their safe and successful integration. And to wrap things up, I'll also be revealing whether a pooch will find its way into my school after all. Catch you then.